the unbeliever wants nothing to do with God's law and does whatever he or she wants. Seeking pleasure, satisfying lust, these are boundless activities without the restraint of God's righteous law. And for the pagan, no divine boundaries suits just fine. And some of these people claim Christianity is nothing more than a crutch for the weak, implying that strong people need no God. It's a smug position and inaccurate, to say the least. Those who see weakness in the baptized believer haven't tried to understand Paul's words in Romans 7. For him and for us, there's a fight between the spiritual law of God and the sinful flesh. The war between the members rages as the believer tries to do the right thing, but ends up doing the wrong thing. The believer desires good, but does evil. Wickedness lies close at hand in the enlightened child of God. The unbeliever calls this weakness when any Christian will confess that the Christian life is very hard. The easy path is to follow your own desires, live how you please. That's no virtue and takes neither courage nor strength. But to be a baptized believer, abiding in the Word of God, means real war within. There is flesh and there is spirit in every believer. There is saint and sinner. That's who you are. And the two collide in battle, making it seem as if your feet are dangling over the flames of hell while the devil has his hands on your ankles and your grip on God is slipping. This struggle isn't fake. It results from God's good and righteous law, showing you his will for your life, faith desiring to do that law, and sinful, wicked flesh yanking you in the opposite direction. You hear God's law demand from you fidelity and service to your spouse. Love them, cherish them, sacrifice for them. God demands this in every marriage. He's not joking when he bids us to love even those neighbors who get under our skin and cause us to cringe a little bit when we get in their presence. Love them, forgive them. Our Lord isn't kidding when he calls us to be patient and refrain from anger. God demands that we live like his people according to his word and not bow to culture and government, let's say otherwise. Friends, God's law is not an idle word, but a divine necessary word straight from his mouth. And we stumble at this word even when we desire to do it. Evil lies close at hand when we try to do right, but we find ourselves committing sin. The conscience then becomes burdened with the conviction we have sinned in God's sight and really are worthy of eternal condemnation. The unbeliever looks at this and sees Christianity as a crutch for the weak, while they rely on their own wisdom to think they're strong enough without divine help. This delusion may pacify their conscience for a little while, a conscience that has become numb to the Holy Spirit, but it is easier to give in to lust than rail against it. It's easier to just follow your passions and be blown by the winds of false doctrine than to seek help and battle those things we despise. It's easier to just say, well, God made me this way, and make him the reason for sinful lust, rather than living in daily repentance and fleeing from evil into the arms of Christ. This war, the war Paul is talking about, the war between our members, is hard. Those who say Christianity is for the weak don't know what they're talking about. Living according to the flesh is no virtue. On the other hand, battling sin is very hard, even for the likes of Saint Paul. These struggles with the flesh, even in mature saints, are evidence of what the Scriptures teach and Lutherans have always boldly confessed, and that is, we are simultaneously saint and sinner. And in this life, this side of heaven, the struggle is never ending. And when we look at this fight, this war between members, between the flesh and the spiritual law of God, we must include even that struggle to believe. the days when you wonder, am I even a Christian? Do I still have faith? What do you do when those questions arise? What do you do when you have those feelings of doubt that plague you and they are overwhelming? You know what the devil will say? The devil will tell you in a very pious way, you must stay away from church until you get all this stuff sorted out. You're not like the other people in the pews, you know, the holy ones. And so if you're having problems, it's best you just refrain from going until your life gets on track and you feel better and then go to church. You're too messed up. That advice is, without a shadow of a doubt, deadly. To stay away from the very place where God nourishes, strengthens, and provides for sinners with problems, sinners with struggles, sinners who feel they have one toe in heaven and the rest of their body is in hell, that's terrible. Rather, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. He doesn't say, stay away until you have things fixed. Come to me, all who labor, and I will give you rest. The devil says, stay away. Jesus says, come. Come to me, and I will give you rest. That's a promise of God. I will give you rest, and it's rest for your soul. Learn from me, says Jesus. Learn to take his yoke, for it is gentle, and his burden is light. What that means is his yoke is insignificant compared to life under the heavy, demanding law of God. Life under the law makes for a burden that we cannot lift. But life in Christ, life in the gospel, means daily forgiveness and rest, peace the world does not understand. Come to me, says Jesus. Come. I will give you rest. Rescue from your body of death is in Christ. That's what St. Paul confesses. That is his only rescue. His only source of help and deliverance was in the Lord Jesus Christ, who possesses all authority under heaven and on earth. Notice that St. Paul in his struggles does not muster his own strength to combat evil. He realizes his deliverance and rescue is in one place. It belongs to Jesus. Even your struggles with faith and that notion of God's abandonment, like he has left you, those struggles come in light of God's word that still declares the baptized united with him and forgiven by his shed blood that has accounted for all of your sin. And so your transgressions do not condemn you. They do not condemn you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's a concrete promise. Come to me, says Jesus. Not stay away. If you labor, if you are burdened, if you struggle with many things, to you the Lord Jesus says, come. Your battles with anxiety and depression, fear and despair, remember, saints, these things are temporary. In heaven secured for you by Christ, given to you freely, there is true rest from sin, true rest from doubt, affliction, and pain. On this side of heaven, yes, the struggle is real. Do not think you are the only one. We contend with the flesh. It is corrupted by sin. But we do so while possessing that gift of faith in the Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus and receive his mercy. When Jesus says, learn from me, friends, that certainly means and includes learning to trust him. To trust him and know he is good to his word. Even his word that says something like, this is my body. This is my blood in his holy supper. Reason rails against this and searches for ways to denounce what he says while Christ says, this is my body and this is my blood and it is for you. It is for you. Learn this. Learn from him when he says your sins are not held over your head. They're not counted against you because he has paid for them all. The fires of hell have been quenched for the baptized believer, joined to Christ, forgiven and redeemed by his work. We have to continually learn this. We have to continually hear it because of the heat of battle. It's easy to forget it. In Christ Jesus, friends, your sins are put away. They are not held against you. Even as you struggle, know The battle has already been won. The victory is already in your hands. And with Paul, we should give thanks for the sure and certain rescue from the body of death, our body of death, a rescue, a deliverance, redemption that is yours freely and solely by Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass all human understanding, may his peace, yours in Jesus, be yours from now unto that blessed life everlasting. Amen.